It's a very complicated issue. You know, this I've just started on the board at Dalhousie as a member of the Board of Governors, and you know, when I was in politics, I mean, we were dealing with that. We were trying to deal with that issue from a policy point of view. What do we do about tuition? What do we do about ensuring that access to post-secondary education is not simply based on your family income? You know, what do we do to make sure that if students want to go into philosophy, that they go into philosophy, that it's not all, you know, everybody's not taking an MBA or heading in that direction, or for technology and all the rest of it. In those days, of course, in the mid-90s, that's when you guys had a tuition freeze on. And we were being told across the rest of the country what an incredible burden that was placing on the public treasury. But, you know, it's these are very important questions. When you have a federal government that is sitting on a $9 billion surplus as we speak, and sitting around rubbing their hands with glee as if to say this is their money and they're going to decide on their own behind closed doors how they're going to spend it, at the same time that provinces and municipalities are being choked. And our public services, things like our access to education, post-secondary education, and other levels of education, is being so seriously affected by those financial questions. It's I think we have a real responsibility to try to get at, you know, not only beat back the actions that are wrong, but to try to help contribute, and we are, to contribute to the solutions, to help, you know, how are we going to do that? And that's the kind of discussion and debate that these conferences are good for, and that we have to have in our communities, I think, as unions and as other organizations we can participate in.
It's interesting on this question of what kids are taking. You won't be surprised to learn that not one of the new private degree programs being proposed in BC is in philosophy. In fact, all but one are in business administration. And this indicates not only that our kids are being conditioned to make certain choices by not only by tuition issues, but there's other forces out there. In fact, last week, in part of our Opening Doors campaign, we've been talking to parent advisory councils, and I had the chair of the parent advisory council in Golden Secondary call me and ask if we would come up and do a presentation. I said, sure, what's your local issue? He says, well, you know, we can't get History 12 taught at our school. There aren't enough kids. We have like 6 kids last year who want to take History 12, and the principal says he couldn't offer the course on that basis. He offers all the sciences, mathematics. He offers the business training courses, but he won't offer History 12. I think they were also having a problem with Geography 12, which was not something I had ever heard of before. But apparently this is what's happening, and you folks would know better than I do. You know, I live here in Vancouver, but the folks who live out there in our heartlands have a far better idea of these types of things happening. And so, I mean, this isn't just a post-secondary issue. This is starting very early in our communities. We're limiting what our kids are capable of doing. And even if our kids would make those choices in any event, would take business administration or whatever, you know, as rational thinkers about the future of our kids and the future of our economy and society, we can only absorb so many of one type of education. I mean, this is literally, you know, the monoculture of our educational forest, right? We're planting all the same kind of tree, and eventually the forest is going to fall down, or it's going to fall, it's going to fall to infection. And this is the big picture that people in this room see it. This is the big picture that politicians don't see, and our administrators don't see, because they're too focused on what's happening right now and, you know, what they need to deal with right now. And, you know, This is what they're hired to do. But somebody somewhere has to put it into a bigger picture. And, you know, I hope some of the people in this room are doing that in their communities.
I've been thinking about your line of malice and incompetence. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like that. Never accuse. But how does it go?
Never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence.
Yeah, okay. And I think you're right. I think there are a whole lot of decisions that seem principled at the level at which they are made. You know, teachers aren't really thrilled about running bingos. Trust me. Right? I mean, there isn't a lot of self-interest involved there. And I think we have to differentiate between decisions. You know, we've downloaded decision-making to the level where there is the least power. The parent and the kid in the dining room trying to figure out which university they're going to go to. They have absolutely no power over these issues. And I take your point that when that much money sits in Ottawa, and in particular for post-secondary, when there's legitimate responsibility from the federal government, certainly one of the places that we have to look. I like your analogy of the tree being, the forest being desperately imbalanced. One of the papers that I wrote on this issue tracked out what the high-tech industry did and how it manipulated the numbers in order to persuade particularly the federal government that all of these new technology spaces had to be opened up. The rationale was very clear. They inflated demand so that supply would increase so they could pay workers less and simply dispose of them every 2 or 3 years rather than retrain them, because there was always a fresh crop ready-made to order. So there's, you know, there are areas of malice and areas without. And I will close by telling you one of my favorite stories about that. It's an old NDP story. It comes from an old issue of the Commonwealth. It's a cartoon, actually. They're two cows out grazing in the pasture. It's very, you know, bucolic and lovely. The sun is setting. And one cow looks over and sees her friend reading something. And it's called Where Hamburger Really Comes From. The first cow says, "Oh, you and your conspiracy theories."